This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is Brian Humphreys. Brian is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Pork Producers Council, NPPC, in Washington, D.C. We'll talk farm bill, we'll talk global demand and trade, and all things pork in just a moment. First off, how about an outlook of the drought's extent and location? USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
There's that persistence or development drought forecast for roughly the western half of the country, Pacific Coast to the Great Plains. But we are expecting additional improvement, say, from the western Gulf Coast region to the Mississippi Delta. So good news there. Kind of a mixed bag, mixed signal for the southeast, but certainly Florida looks like improving conditions. Not so certain as you move north from there.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Brian Humphreys. Brian is CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, NPPC, in Washington, D.C. Brian, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Hey, let's start first off with you and a little background for those who've not met you yet. Your pathway to the National Pork Producers Council, did it start in ag?
It did. I grew up on a farm in southeast Iowa and always thought I'd stick around and farm, but the farm wasn't big enough for all three boys. And as happens occasionally, my older brother is bigger than me. And he asserted early on, sometimes physically, that he was going to run the farm. So I went off and did other things for a little bit, worked, graduated from Iowa State, campaigned for a bit. And then start working for NPPC in the pork industry about 18 years ago now. And so been fortunate enough to be in this job for about 4.5 years now.
And for those who don't know, there are kind of multiple organizations under that pork umbrella, if you will. How does NPPC fit under that umbrella?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. There are two national pork organizations. First, you have the National Pork Producers Council, which is NPPC. We work on regulations, policy work. Our other organization, the National Pork Board of the Checkoff, separate organization, separate board, separate funding stream, separate staff. They work on education, promotion, and research. And so when you see ads out there for eating more pork, that would be the Checkoff. Our work is focused in Washington, D.C., state capitals around the country. And then we also have 42 state pork associations that we engage with as well across the country.
Okay. I mentioned you're in Washington, D.C. You're actually just a few blocks away from the Capitol. And right now, it's pretty timely. There is debate heating up for a new farm bill. Now, a couple of years ago, we did have the House Ag Committee pass their version of a farm bill, and it didn't go anywhere. Will this one, or at least do the odds look better for this one?
Yes. Now, let's keep in mind, I'm also the eternal optimist, and Chairman G.T. Thompson is my hero. He's been saying for years that he was going to get a farm bill done and was going to get it past the House and get it enacted. And I believed him every step of the way. And so I'm still of the optimist nature that we as ag and our friends and partners in Congress are going to help us get this across the line. And so the calendar is challenging. Sure, there's a lot going on in D.C. clearly. But obviously, as we move forward here, I'm the optimist. I think we're going to be able to get this one across the line. Now, they're discussing the rules right now. So we're looking for hopefully a 4-vote on the farm bill yet this week.
Okay, so let's dig in a little deeper on this. We did get a few of the key components of a farm bill already passed through a reconciliation package, or the one big beautiful bill. However, it's not the farm bill that passed. So what's in the farm bill? What's important in there for NPPC?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd be remiss if we talk farm bill and we don't talk about fixed to Proposition 12. That would be a miss on our part. For those of you, your listeners and your viewers here that aren't aware, Proposition 12 was a ballot measure that was passed in California in 2018 that limited the product sales of what could be sold in the state of California. And in order to qualify for state to sell product in California, pork producers in Iowa and Minnesota, the Dakotas, North Carolina, all across the country had to comply with these very arbitrary standards in order for product to be sold there. And that's created a nightmare of patchworks across the country as producers have tried to come into compliance with to meet California's regulations, as well as Massachusetts, et cetera. And so what we're looking for in the Farm Bill here is a fix to Proposition 12. What do we mean by that? We mean that Congress should regulate interstate commerce. We mean that the state of California should not be able to regulate farmers outside of their borders. The state of California should not be able to tell pork producers in Iowa or Minnesota or North Carolina or any other state how to raise pigs in order to access their market. And so that's what we're looking for. And in the version of the Farm Bill that's going to the floor, that language is included. So very happy to see that. But there are other things in the Farm Bill beyond that. Obviously, when we talk about Farm Bill, there are 12 titles. I think everybody knows that. For us specifically, let's talk about Title II. In Title II, there's money in there, about $150 million a year over 5 years to work on feral swine eradication programs. For your folks down south, that's a big deal. And for folks that have pigs, it's a disease vector that we worry a lot about. You know, you talked about the one big beautiful bill under Title III on trade dollars. The one big beautiful bill allocated about $285 million a year for trade promotion and facilitation programs. And under the Farm Bill now, under Title III, we consolidate all those together under MAP and foreign market development dollars and help put that together. And then Title 12 also goes in and codifies and expands the Beagle Brigade Act, which allows us to add more training facilities. And those of you aren't aware, the Beagle Brigade are the little dogs that are at all the ports of entry, smelling for product that should not be coming into the U.S. And that protects us not just on pork, but on citrus and a bunch of other things as well. So a lot of other things in the Farm Bill that would be great for the U.S. pork industry.
We're talking with Brian Humphreys, National Pork Producers Council. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Brian Humphreys, CEO, National Pork Producers Council. Let's talk global demand for a moment and trade.
Some of the greatest opportunity our pork industry has had over the last 20 years has been growth in exports. We are able to raise an incredibly high quality and affordable product right here in the United States. And while that has gone a long ways to supply the American consumer with an affordable and high quality product, the rest of the world enjoys pork, right? It is the most consumed protein worldwide and has been for a number of years. And so there's quite a demand internationally for U.S. pork. And so our partners at USMEF do an amazing job of promoting the product. But we have to do a lot of work at NPPC to open those doors and get access to those markets. And, you know, if you look over the last 20 years, it's been a great growth opportunity for us. I think there's still really bright opportunities ahead of us when we talk about trade internationally. Obviously, this administration, the Trump administration, has done a lot of work on bilateral agreements and expanding access for agricultural products. And pork has been a part of those conversations, whether we're talking Malaysia or Cambodia. Obviously, we could talk about the USMCA review with our largest export partner in Mexico. But there's still room for opportunity, right? And we think of countries out there that have a lot of opportunity for U.S. pork products. It'd be hard not to talk about Vietnam. Obviously, a country there that eats a lot of pork, but they have some interesting rules around what can and can't be shipped in. An example, Vietnam is the only country that I'm aware of personally that separates out red offal and white offal. And we're still not allowed and not able to export any white offal into the country of Vietnam. Now, we're able to export red offal, but not white. And that's a tremendous opportunity for our industry to export products that American consumers don't consume, but folks in Vietnam certainly do. Another opportunity out there is, I would say, is the Philippines. Obviously, they are struggling with some disease challenges around African swine fever, and as their industry works to hopefully recover from that, been an opportunity for U.S. producers there. And we've benefited as they've lowered their most favored nation rate from 15 to, down to 15% in quota, 25% I think out of quota, but been a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to help them as their industry is trying to recover from African swine fever. So a couple of countries there with opportunity, but obviously a thanks to the administration, the Trump administration, for all of their work in opening other markets for us as well.
Our guest today is Brian Humphreys with the National Pork Producers Council. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Brian Humphrey, CEO, National Pork Producers Council, NPPC. All right, Brian, kind of the final question here for you as you look down the road, challenges, opportunities. What do you see?
Yeah, we've kind of talked about it, but when I think about challenges, I think the most significant challenge facing our industry today remains things like Proposition 12. And if we are not able to get Congress to pass a fix as part of the Farm Bill, the patchwork that is going to ensue as every state starts to legislate what products are or are not allowed into their economy, into their commerce, is a massive challenge, not just for the U.S. pork industry, but I would argue for the entire economy and for all of agriculture. And so that is one that is absolutely keeping me up at night, and I know keeping a lot of our producers up at night. And so looking forward to Congress fixing that one and providing some certainty to the U.S. pork industry so that we can continue to improve our infrastructure and feed the American people. Now, when we talk about opportunities, I think one of the tremendous opportunities that has come around recently, obviously, is the dietary guidelines. And the opportunity to get high quality protein like pork back into a lot of school meals and talk about the value of protein as part of a healthy and balanced diet. Those of us in the meat sector have known for years that meat is part of a healthy and balanced diet and should be on the plate. And so very proud to see that. And I think as we go through and work, continue to push the dietary guidelines, work on school meals and really start to see that come around. One, I think we're going to see a healthier consumer. And two, I look forward to the opportunity for the U.S. pork industry there as we go forward.
Again, Brian Humphreys is CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, NPPC, in Washington, D.C. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Herb efforts to address low fertilizer supplies and increased fertilizer prices.
At our rural development mission, we continue to build out production through a $900 million fertilizer production expansion program. And we are now working around the clock with a lot of these dozens of these projects to bring them to fruition.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins provides one example.
Natural fertilizer. Fertilizer products in Ames, Iowa is near the finish line and will be online and operational this summer, increasing their production by 36,000 tons annually.
The secretary at USDA headquarters, joined by other cabinet members, in sharing some of those efforts, including federal funding opportunities for infrastructure construction and operation and decreasing the time to obtain permits. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.